Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And happy Friday, everyone, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. As always, we have good news, bad news, crazy news. For conservatives, sometimes it's a little bit nuanced, sometimes it's not, and we'll certainly get to that as the...
Sometimes we reach listeners. We should just be honest about that. Today it's, you know, today we got some interesting ones.
We certainly do, and just earlier this week, in fact, we talked about Eric Holder, his performance, and pretty poor performances as of late before lawmakers in both the House and Senate, doing a pretty horrible job of defending his handling of the Fast and Furious scandal, more and more Republicans asking him to resign, more and more stories that Democrats would actually vote for a contempt of Congress citation if the House Republicans move in that direction, which they were clearly about to. But now, magically, Jim, Eric Holder, who claims he's been fully compliant with Daryl Issa and all these other folks up on Capitol Hill, apparently has some more things to share. He's going to be sharing some more emails as it relates to Fast and Furious, and he's graciously volunteered to brief Daryl Issa about some other issues related to the case that perhaps he doesn't want to volunteer in open session before the committee. The good news is here is that clearly the Republicans are forcing Holder to do some things he doesn't want to do but should be doing. The question is whether we're still going to get to the bottom of this or whether we're just kicking this can further down the road and we're not going to get real answers for a little while longer.
Yeah, it's one of the things, nothing like a contempt citation to concentrate the mind, huh, Greg? All of a sudden, there's a different tone coming from Eric Holder and the Department of Justice, that they're at least a little more – they seem to be a little more serious about giving some sort of sense of cooperation. I was on NRA News last night with Cam Edwards, and he's on top of this thing, so I don't have to be. What's at issue here is roughly 70,000 to 120,000 documents that the GOP believes are related to Fast and Furious, and that the – you know, that sometimes Eric Holder says they're not related. Sometimes Eric Holder says we can't release that for security purposes. The excuses are ever varying. Now, if you have, say, the name of an undercover agent or something like that in a document, I completely understand why you wouldn't want to keep some of that stuff. But I have a hard time believing that 70,000 documents or 120,000 documents or some amount in between those two numbers really has that much stuff that absolutely positively can't be in the public eye. Much more likely what's in there is something embarrassing. And look, you know, embarrassment is not sufficient reason to not turn over a document to Congress when they ask for it. This is part of the duty of oversight, of looking over this, and something like Fast and Furious, you know, hundreds or perhaps thousands of guns going across the border into the hands of cartels, and not one but two U.S. Border Patrol agents being killed as a result of that. You know, boy, oh boy, if that doesn't get a more dramatic need for oversight, I can't imagine what would be. So we'll see if something comes out of this. It does feel like there's a different tone coming from Eric Holder. We all remember before this was all a partisan witch hunt. There was an insinuation that racism was a factor. All kinds of excuses and explanations saying that everything other than, hey, look, there was a serious, fatal scandal at the Department of Justice that needs to be investigated. We'll see if they get real answers, but I think you can safely say that the leverage has shifted a bit to Daryl Issa and the other Republicans in Congress.
Yeah, it certainly has. And, of course, the political calendar didn't hurt Issa. But Eric Holder and President Obama don't want this to become a bigger story in the mainstream media, which has done a pretty effective job of silencing it for the most part, with the exception of CBS and a couple others. But we'll see what percentage of those documents actually get released here or at least get briefed on. That'll be interesting to see, and if Daryl Issa finds that sufficient. But martini number two now, and the bad martini. Jim, I don't know if you remember this. I'm sure you do. What was it? Probably in the 2010 election midterms, maybe it was even last year, where President Obama was getting some flack from the Hispanic community about not moving forward on immigration reform. And his statement at the time was, look, I want the DREAM Act to go forward, but I can't do it alone. Well, turns out whether or not the Constitution allows for him to do it alone, he's decided to do it anyway because his reelection effort is in a whole heap of trouble and his numbers among Hispanics are tanking. So he's going to talk about it a little bit later today. But here's the announcement on a changed immigration rule from Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano.
Today I am announcing that effective immediately, young people who were brought to the United States through no fault of their own as children and who meet several key criteria will no longer be removed from the country or entered into removal proceedings.
Jim, separation of powers is so overrated.
This is bad news on several fronts because this is fairly obvious a political move by the Obama administration. It's bad news for conservative Republicans because it may very well work. whatever you think of legislation akin to the Dream Act, and it's certainly the, you know, if you come over here as a child and your parents are the one bringing you over here and you're an illegal immigrant for much of your life, you didn't know it. Look, that clearly is a sympathetic set of circumstances. The American people are not without compassion. On the other hand, an illegal act is still an illegal act. And Marco Rubio has a version of this that he wants to try to not make this a massive amnesty, not let this turn into chain immigration in which everyone associated with this newly legalized citizen gets to become a citizen as well. This was to get into tough negotiations. Marco Rubio was making a good faith effort to address this problem in a bipartisan manner. And now Barack Obama has blown that up. His aim was not to reach the bipartisan agreement, not to bring people together on this, but to have the political issue on this. I have no doubt that he's certainly hoping that the Republican base will react with fury and that some idiot somewhere will express anti-Hispanic sentiment as a result of that. The general consensus I've seen on Twitter so far has been a sense of, look, this is an effort to distract the public from jobs. And ironically, one of the ways Obama wants to distract the public from jobs is to bring in 800,000 new workers without any new, you know, jobs for them to go to. How this is actually improving the economy is, you know, not clear, and in fact, it probably is harmful to our economy. I mean, the only theory that this could work out for Obama economically that I can think of, Greg, is that he brings in 800,000 new workers, and then they all drop out of the workforce, as so many other Americans have done in the past 4 years. Does that make sense to you, Greg?
Yeah, so there'd be an initial bump in the unemployment rate, but then it'll come back down when they all stop looking and go back
exactly,
to their
exactly.
country.
So we'd have to, you know... I guess they'd have to stop looking for a certain period of time. No, it's crass politics. It is, you could even board, you know, it's, you could almost argue that it seems designed to stoke ethnic and racial divisions. The only other thing I can kind of say is I don't know if you say a silver lining or just an observation, but hey, Greg, remember yesterday was the reset button that was going to totally transform the entire campaign?
Right, right.
Yeah, so basically the fact that they're bringing out this move the following morning suggests to me in the overnight polling that speech was, well, to use the president's favorite phrase, it was doing fine.
Exactly.
Like the private sector.
Yeah, the big story was that even the liberal media thought it was tedious and didn't really have a point, didn't offer anything new. And when you've lost your base, which is the mainstream media, you know, you've got to do something to re-energize them. So this was clearly in the back pocket even yesterday and probably even before. Good rejoinder to today's political move by the president from a guy you quote a lot. Saw a tweet today from Jim Pethakukas over at AEI, and he says, retweet this all day long. Current Hispanic unemployment, 11%.
Exactly. How this helps improve that is not clear to most Americans. And I think most Americans will see this as crass politics. I guess we'll see whether this does Obama more good among the Hispanic and Latino demographic than it does amongst other Americans. And I don't think this is a political winner, but I guess we have to see how things shake out in the coming days and weeks.
We'll find out. From a lot of the anecdotal data, it seems like a lot of the Hispanics who are here legally, which is the vast majority of them, they're not that excited about amnesty for a lot of reasons, economic and otherwise. So while they have understanding for some of these people, they don't necessarily want blanket amnesty. So we'll see if this has a major impact on that demographic when it comes to the election this year. Finally, on to our crazy martini now, and one of the things that we've learned about this president, Jim, is that he likes to spend but doesn't necessarily have the money to pay for stuff, and so he has to keep borrowing it. We got a little microcosm of that when he was, up in New York, or was this in Ohio? I don't even remember. Had a nice dinner. Total tab came to, for him, a very meager, just under $60, but turns out he didn't bother to pay the check, and the campaign had to go back a little bit later in the day and make things right with the restaurant. So having the taxpayers foot the bill for everything kind of has its drawbacks when you're out there on your own.
It does, Greg. Now, two observations on this. The first is, wasn't it earlier this week that Barack Obama was at one of his bazillion fundraisers, and he said something in the vein of, oh, the Republicans, they sat down, they ordered a steak dinner, and then when I sat down at the table, they got up and left. So basically, he's accusing his Republican opposition of what is sometimes called a dine and dash. On a week, he actually dines and dashes. So that's irony number one. The second one was, maybe there's a reason that Obama didn't plunk down his credit card down on the table. You know, he went on a photo op shopping opportunity at Best Buy around the holidays, and he actually said, I don't know if my credit card works or not, because he's the president of the United States. I mean, he doesn't carry anything. When you're president of the United States, you have your body man who's taking care of all these sorts of things, and you have staffers all around you, and people are bringing you stuff. And, you know, it's not like Obama goes down the street to the, you know, the Starbucks when he wants a cup of coffee and pays for it himself. So Obama may, you know, on any given day, Obama's credit card can expire or, you know, holds can be on it or perhaps be overdrawn. Who knows what the circumstances are with the president's credit card? Just one more reminder of how removed Barack Obama is from reality that, you know, I think for most people, the idea of, you know, if you go, for Obama, going into a restaurant, eating and leaving without paying is perfectly, totally normal for him because usually there's somebody there to take care of it and somebody didn't take care of it in this one. And again, the idea that this is a guy who totally gets how your family's, you know, struggling with paying the mortgage, paying the rent, taking care of increasing food costs, et cetera, Barack Obama lives a very charmed life, very far from all of these troubles. And the idea that he's the guy, you know, the idea that Romney's out of touch and Obama is some common man is ridiculous. And I think stories like this only illustrate how ridiculous and unrealistic and bizarre and implausible those claims are.
Hopefully the middle of America is paying attention to that as well, particularly in some of those key battleground states. We'll have to leave it there for now. Jim is on vacation next week, his last vacation before the huge push to Election Day in November. Jim, have a great Father's Day, great vacation. We'll talk to you later.
Talking to you a week from Monday, Greg.
Excellent. Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I'll be back here on Monday with Dan Foster for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.